Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. Folks, we'd like to have you give us a phone call here if you got a question about mining or anything else that we might be discussing here on Alaska Gold Trails today. Our phone number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Give us a call if you've got a question and or care to make a comment on Alaska Gold Trails. We'd love to hear from you. Now, we're going to do today what we do each day on Alaska Gold Trails, every Thursday at about 1:10, and that's, of course, have our quiz. In just a few minutes, Harold Gillum will be joining me here in the studio. But until then, let's see. I'm going to give a 1 ounce silver ingot to the first person who calls me and tells me who is located at this phone number, 452-6491. And I want to know who they are, where they are, and what they do. And there's a little something special that I want you to be aware of, where they did a high-level advertising campaign. As soon as you have that answer, I want you to give me a call here. And our number, once again, is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give the silver ingot away to the first person that gives me the call. And, of course, this particular silver ingot is courtesy of Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. And the second and third person that calls me and gives me this information, I'm going to give them a crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospectors, located at 504 College Road. So, I wonder if the lines are going to... You know, I've got two sets of phones here, and the lines are lit up on all the sets of phones. I don't quite understand what's going on. I'll just press a button. Hello?
Hello?
By golly, you are on the air.
Certainly am.
Huh? Boy, all these buttons are flashing around here.
I'll tell you, what will they think of next?
I don't know. You know what it looks like here? I got to tell you what it looks like. It looks like the control panel of a 747 over here with a lot of blinking lights going on, so it's easy to get confused. But you're going to give me an answer to a question, aren't you?
Absolutely.
And first of all, we want to know who they are.
About B&L Pawn Shop.
Hey, that sounds like a good one. Could you speak up just a little bit for me?
Yes, I'm sorry. B&L Pawn Shop.
B&L Pawn Shop. And that's who they are. Where are they located?
Where are they located? 605 Gaffney Road.
That's right, at the corner of Gaffney and...
Cushman.
And... tell me a little bit about what they do over there at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman.
Well, they give...
Do you have a telephone book, Andy?
Pardon?
Do you have a telephone book, Andy?
Yeah, I've got somebody here trying to help me out, and I could probably do better by myself.
just take the telephone book and turn it over and look at the back page.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they give small-term loans for any item that... has a value to it, and Killer has a Wheel of Fortune over there that should give you a real good deal on, items that have been left for them to sell. And if you need a poke to get out into the woods and do some prospecting, they can help you there, too.
Oh, you mean they give grub stakes?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, now I've got a question. You've told me who they are, where they are, what they do. And there was a little special item that I wanted you to tell me where their major advertising area is besides. Now, that's besides Alaska Gold Trail.
I would say it's probably on the back of the MUS phone directory.
By golly, I think you you get an A for your effort today, my friend.
Well,
why don't you give me your name, and we'll see that you can come up here and get your certificate. And... then take it over to Oxford Assaying and Refining and pick up your 1 ounce silver ingot. How's that?
Sounds good.
What's your name now?
My name's Tom.
Tom?
Yep. Van Dorp.
V-A-N-D-O-R-P?
Right.
Okay. Tom, I'll tell you what, do you come up here to Washington Plaza to the KFAR studio, pick up this certificate, then take it over to Oxford, and they'll happily give you a 1 troy ounce silver ingot. How's that?
Sounds great, Jim.
Well, thanks for giving the call.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it. Hi, you there?
Yeah.
Well, you're the second caller, and if you could just give me a little bit of information on that sponsor, we'll send you over to Alaskan Prospectors, and you can pick up a crystalline geode. How's that?
How about B&L Pawn Shop, 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney?
You got that part right.
They loan, buy, sell, trade, and deal.
Oh, you're looking at the back of the telephone book.
That's right.
You're that very good, my friend. I like that. I think that's enough. What's your first name?
Fred.
Fred, okay. They've been advised, Fred, you don't have to go anywhere but stop over at 504 College Road at Alaskan Prospectors and pick up your crystalline geode. I know you're going to love it.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. We'll try one more here. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, there is somebody there. Hi, are you going to help me out with this ad?
I'll try.
Okay, let's give it a shot.
Well, they take consignment goods.
Who does?
I'm sorry, they're B&L Pawn Shop.
That's who does. They take consignment goods. You got that?
Okay.
And where are they located, my friend?
They are at 605 Gaffney, corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
You got that part right, too, so what can I say? You just stop over at 504 College, pick up your crystalline geode. You're my third caller, and I appreciate you participating in the show.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, do it anytime, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Well, now that we got that out of the way and everybody's got won all their prizes, I'd like to introduce my guest today, Harold Gillum. By the way, I ought to give a little information, a little background on Harold. I met Harold Gillum, I think, eons ago when he took one of my classes at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I learned at that time that he has had quite a history in and around Alaska. And so I was, with a little arm twisting, I was able to get him to join us here on Alaska Gold Trail today. So if you have a question of Harold, give us a call. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And Harold Gillum, welcome to Alaska Gold Trail.
Thank you, Jim.
And I think probably the standard question, Harold, is where did you come from?
Well, I came from Alaska, actually. I've lived here all my life.
Where were you born?
I was born, actually, in Seattle. My mother...
Now, wait a minute, Harold.
If you just let me finish, I'll tell you the rest of the story.
Oh, okay. Sounds like Paul Harvey here.
My mother... My family was in Cordova, and my mother used me as an excuse to go out to Seattle. By the time I was born in 1930, there was no hospital facilities in Cordova, and very little in Alaska. Excuse me. So a lot of people went out to Seattle for medical reasons. I was back in Cordova at the age of 6 weeks.
It wasn't a long stay, was it?
It wasn't a long stay.
So, and after returning to Cordova, how long did you stay there?
I was there until I was about 8 years old, at which time we moved to Fairbanks, and we've been here ever since.
During your young years, up until you were 8 years old, do you remember anything about Cordova or how the activity there? I know the railroad came down there from Kennecott.
Yes. Cordova was the terminus of the Kennecott Copper Railroad, and shipped the copper out to Seattle. When we left, the copper mine was in the process of closing down. What do I remember about Cordova? Well, I can remember using ice creepers on my hands and feet to crawl up the hill to go to school. I can remember that.
There was apparently a lot of ice.
Well, it rains a lot there,
yeah.
And of course it gets icy.
Uh-huh.
And the school was up on the hill, and we were living down near the sea.
Mm-hmm. Then I take it Cordova has been kind of built on a elevated, kind of elevated away from the coastline. Then
there is, yeah. It's
hill or something like that.
Little hillside there.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been there, I'll have to admit my recollection of Cordova is pretty hazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that that following your time in Cordova, and you left it when you were 8 years old, you came directly to Fairbanks then.
Correct.
Uh-huh. And have you lived in Fairbanks ever since that time?
Generally ever since that time. I went to, after graduation from high school, I went to the University of Washington and gained my Bachelor of Science degree in civil engineering.
Well, at eight years old, when you came to Fairbanks, should have had an impression on you. What was Fairbanks like in 1938, 39?
In those years? Much smaller than it is now. I can remember about in the vicinity of Lathrop High School, I used to have a tree house out in that area. later on, a good friend of mine, Merle Thomas Sr., had a homestead out about where Gem Company is, and in fact, it is where Gem Company is. We used to go duck hunting out there in that area.
Mm-hmm. And it seems that there were no paved roads in Fairbanks at that time.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Were there paved roads?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Where were the paved roads?
Paved roads was the concrete road, the streets that are there today, 2nd Avenue to Lacey Street from Cushman, and Cushman Street from, 1st to 7th, I guess, or 5th, I guess.
Uh-huh. That was the paved road?
That was the paved roads.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, now I stand corrected.
We also had a concrete building. And one of the interesting things, Jim, about those period of times is the concrete, it was all hand-mixed.
Mm-hmm.
There's no batch plants or anything of that nature.
Right.
So this was so many shovelfuls of gravel and so many shovelfuls of cement.
Uh-huh. What was the major industry here in Fairbanks back in 1938, 39, 40. What was going on here to supply the wealth of interior Alaska?
That was gold mining.
Gold mining.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the dredges were working. It seems to me that there were probably some open pit, and even drift mining was going on in those days, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah. So the town then flourished because of the mining activity?
The town existed. I won't say it was necessarily flourished, but it was, you know, like I say, it was much smaller than, uh-huh, than it is today.
Would you consider, it wasn't until 1942 we actually had the Alcan come in. So in a sense, this was kind of, it was almost bound, except for a couple of roads. One from Valdez, was the Steese Highway, how?
Steese Highway was built, the Richardson Highway was built, and we had the Alaska Railroad.
Uh-huh. So at that time, those
that
were
here.
The avenues to Fairbanks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you, when you came into Fairbanks, at that time, I think I've asked a lot of people, what do you think about raising a family or growing up in Fairbanks and in Alaska? Of course, maybe that's not a fair question since you spent your whole life here. I guess it would be biased, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be biased. I think Alaska is a good place. Was a good place to grow up. Alaska has changed an awful lot since the period of time I grew up.
Uh-huh.
We went from a period of time when we were probably the freest people in the world to a point where I think we're probably among the most regulated.
Uh-huh. You.
I mean, everybody, not only just the miners, but I uh-huh. think that we suffer an awful lot more regulations than we did then.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that a lot of people that have come to Alaska or came to Alaska in the early days came because of that freedom that they felt, and that was what they were looking for, is the frontier freedom. Probably a harder way of life, but a freer way of life. Is that on target or not?
That's on target. You know, in those years, we were living up to the myth of Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
That by good hard work and the sweat of your brow and just a lot of hard work, you could carve out a life in the wilderness, so to speak. Today you can't do that. You have to be a big operator. Used to be you could go out and do a little homesteading. You could go out and get a grub stake on mining, do some prospecting. Now the opportunities to homestead are nil. Mm-hmm. The small gold miner is rapidly a disappearing way of life.
Let me see if we can answer this call that we've got coming in here, Harold. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, Harold, are you the one we called the Nevada Kid?
No, that was Byron Gillum.
Oh, Byron, okay. I came up in 49 and watched the price wars going on over there. And was that a brother of yours, or?
We've never been able to really track whether or not he was a relative or not. Gillum family is surprisingly enough, a very large family, and we find that almost everybody who spells a name or has a name Gillum, no matter what the spelling is, related one way or another.
Uh-huh. I couldn't remember whether, but I remember the price wars that who was it over there at that other liquor store across the road by the old Talk of the Town.
Oh, I can't remember that.
Gosh, they had booze going for $1 a fifth, you know. They kept going down and down and down.
I thought it was cheaper than that at one
point. Oh, they were down to 50 cents a bottle, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a tent up there where the old federal...
Yes, where the First Federal Savings
Bank. Yeah, First Federal.
Uh-huh. That was the Nevada Kids outlet.
Yeah. Okay, I thought that was you, but...
Nope.
Okay. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for the call. Were you in the liquor business?
No.
No, you weren't involved with that.
No, I wasn't involved at all in that.
It was just your relative that you don't know about.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What was his name again?
Byron.
No, the Nevada...
Nevada Kid.
The Nevada Kid. That's a catchy little handle there.
He moved from here and went down to Anchorage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you know when you came to town, were there some characters around town that... not characters, but some characters that had personalities that were particularly flamboyant or memorable? I keep thinking... I hear these names all the time, you know, very... commonly I hear these names, Eva McGowan, I hear Helga Ford, and I hear about all these people that were in Fairbanks in the early days, and people have sometimes somebody that was special to them that they talk about a little bit and held in particular favor, and sometimes they like to talk about them. I just wondered if you had somebody that was here that did something special in Fairbanks area, or perhaps they were all that way to you. I don't know. I don't mean to be putting you on the spot, Harold.
Well, you really are, in a way, because there's an awful lot of people that took part in raising me, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
One of the people that in particular stands out is Merle Thomas Sr.
Uh-huh.
He was the mortician here in town. Very wonderful person. Enjoyed him very much.
Now
I drop it and leave it.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's fine. The other question that I have is, you've had some mining experience.
Yes.
And I was wondering that, you know, you came to Fairbanks when you were 8 years old, and I wondered, you know, what time of your life did you enter into that mining experience? And I want you to answer that question. I'm going to give you plenty of time to think about it, because we've got a phone call here, and you can think about it while you're answering the question of this phone call. How's that? How's that for a deal, huh?
Sounds good.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, you could speak up a little bit for us, please.
Yeah. Hello there.
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, this is from Circle Hot Springs.
How are you?
You got Harold Gillum on there.
I've got Harold Gillum sitting right here with me. Have you got a question for Harold?
Well, could I speak to him?
Sure.
I'm listening to you.
Hey, Harold.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
This is Jess.
How are you, Mr. Bachner?
I'm very good.
I thought I recognized that.
I was going to maybe help you a little bit in what people are asking you about your father and the difference in the Gillums. Your father which are a good friend of mine, and I've done a lot of things to help him keep the airplane flying, the old Pilgrim.
You sure did.
And we got 3 o'clock in the morning and went with the fire pot. And he went to 19,000 feet to make the weather surveys for our system in our country, which we still have today. And I just thought I'd throw that in for you.
Yeah, and he did that day in, day out, without any radio, without any navigation aids.
Remember the other gentleman that was his partner, or not his partner, but his other pilot?
The other pilot? No, I don't.
Bert Lean?
No, I never met him.
No, you were too young for that.
Yeah.
And you know, Harold...
I remember Tom Appleton, his mechanic.
Tom was... He was over with us in the old Gillum Hangar. That's where we started, you know.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I just had to throw that in.
Good. I'm glad you did.
I could say a lot more, but maybe I better let you go.
Well, thank you for the contribution.
You'd be a story in itself right there.
Well, okay. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff, you know, brings back a bunch of other people who's been very important to me, too. Jim Hutchison, Sr., Warren Tillman, Sr. These were mechanics for my dad. And still alive, very fine people.
Harold, I got to stop for just a minute and talk about some of my friends who help us bring Alaska Gold Trail to us. And but when I come back, I'd like to know a little bit about your dad and what he did. But I don't want you to forget that I had a question about gold mining.
I've forgotten that question already.
I think it had something to do with gold mining, Harold. Right. And we're going to be back in just a second with Harold and right after a couple of messages.
A message from Bob Walt, founder of GCI. Alascom says we're lying? That really disappoints me. But facts don't lie. Alascom raised your in-state rates 83% in 1978. In 1987, they received an additional $4.5 million increase. But they still want you to think they're lowering the cost of in-state service. At GCI, we deal with facts. And the fact is, without in-state competition, your rates have gone up.
Problem. You're young, you've never bought a car before, no credit? Solution, Seekins, Ford, Lincoln, Mercury.
Hey, I remember when I was young and first getting started, it was tough to get financing for a new car. No major credit, nobody wanted to finance me. Well, now we have a way for the first-time new car or truck buyer to establish credit for the rest of their lives and drive home in one of the best-built American vehicles made today and possibly do it with no down payment out of their own pocket. The cars are here, the program is simple. If it sounds good to you, what are you waiting for? See us right now, right here, at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury. See you here.
Folks, I wanted to talk a little bit about my friends over there at 2058 Donald Road. And that's Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, light truck, motorhome, or big rig for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And you know, that's not just my opinion, folks. Many, many of the people I've had on the show, many people that call me up, know that Gabe's give excellent service. In addition to that, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has 2 large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, with that much attention, you'll get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair, mount, and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And I got to say just a little something about Gabe's IM inspections. Gabe's has a no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right, folks. If you don't pass, you don't pay for that IM inspection at Gabe's Truck and Auto. And you also want to keep in mind that Gabe's has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day to serve you in case you have a problem out there on the road. And if you want to give Gabe's a call, their number is 456-6156. And I would suggest that during this icy weather that you have that number easily available just in case an emergency should arrive. So, if you want to turn your rag into a ride, take it to Gabe's Truck and Auto, and they're located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. That's, to be precise, 2058 Donald Road. Or give them a call at 456-6156. Tell them that Jim on Alaska Gold Trail sent you around. Well, Harold, the first question's first, Harold.
Shoot.
You ready for this? You said that when you came into Fairbanks area, when you moved from Cordova, you made the comment that you had spent a little time gold mining. Now, in terms of time frame, when did you enter into gold mining? Certainly not at 8 years old.
Well, pretty close, 1939. My father was Harold Gillum, of course, and I have a stepfather, Jack LaCrosse, who's still active in mining. But we mined up at Bonanza Creek in the Circle District. Did there for several years until the war shut us down in 1942. I had the opportunity to... It was a hydraulic operation with a cat. We used an old TD, either 18 or 24, I've forgotten which, to push out the tailings. We fed the boxes with hydraulic and did our stripping with hydraulic. And I ran the nozzle, and so I can say I was an active part of mining.
How many years did you participate in that, Harold?
Well, until the war shut us down in 42. And then, of course, there's no mining done until after the war was over.
Did you enter back into mining after that?
Not for several years. Like I said, I went to college and then came back. And
mm-hmm.
I helped my stepfather at several other locations, but never really was in the mining until several years later.
Before we get into that, you want to tell us a little bit about your father and probably relating to this telephone call that you just got, and we'd kind of like to know a little bit about what your father did. He was a pilot, I understand.
Well, he was one of the pioneer aviators in the country, and obviously I'm very proud of him. He was started flying, I don't know what date, what year, sorry to say. He participated in the Eielson-Borland search. At such a time, he didn't even have a license. He had just relatively learned to fly, a brand new pilot.
What search was that?
This was a search for Eielson and Borland, who went down in Siberia. Oh. Actually, my father discovered the wreckage. And they did... he didn't have his license, and the story goes that I get is that when he came back, the people from the CAA said, well, here's a license for you. things were a little more casual in those years. My father was noted for flying in bad weather. He did several things around this countryside that were, some people thought miraculous, but really they weren't miraculous. He just developed his skills earlier than most. He was one of the first instrument-rated pilots. There wasn't a rating, let's put it that way, but he was the instrument training. He took the instrument training and used instruments in his aircraft. He also was the first one to install radio communication to this aircraft. Just mentioned the fact that he did those weather flights to 19,000 foot on a daily basis. That was under contract with the old Weather Bureau. and he would do that no matter what the weather was or how cold it was. And there's times when he couldn't see the ground, and of course there's no navigational aids. The mechanic, Tom Appleton, would stand outside the hangar door, and through the radio communication that had been installed, tell my father where in the heck he was in relationship to the airport. And we were taken off. The old Weeks Field was the airport, so, you know, we're only a few, one or two blocks out of town at that time. And it was rather interesting. I've heard the story about the times when he would, the cloud layer would be down, within about 50 feet of the ground, and my father would come down and the wheels would poke through the bottom of the cloud bank, and he couldn't see the ground, so he'd take off and go up again. And pretty interesting flying, I'll tell you.
There was a period of time between 1942, when you stopped mining, and the time when you could resume mining and activities here during the war period. And what we want to do is we want to talk about that block of time when you were probably entering into high school and so forth. I'd like to get back with that just in a few minutes, if you don't mind. But for a minute, I want to talk about a couple of our friends who support Alaska Gold Trails. One of them, of course, is Days Inn in Anchorage, Alaska. And they've been with me ever since we started this season's show, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about Days Inn. And it's if you're traveling for business or pleasure, you'll enjoy staying at the Days Inn in Anchorage. You can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. And they have a whole host of special offerings there. They're located downtown. They've got 116 rooms. They've got a lounge and, of course, a 24-hour restaurant. They're convenient to all downtown businesses and facilities. And if you'd like to make reservations, you can call toll-free 1-800-325-2525. Funny thing about Days Inn, a lot of people come up to me on the street and they say, Jim, we're going to go down to Anchorage, and what about this place you advertised on your radio show? Is that a good place to stay? I say, well, of course they are. Nothing but the best advertised on this radio show. So give them a try down there. That's Days Inn. They're located at 321 East 5th Avenue in Anchorage, Alaska. And once again, their phone number down there locally is 276-7226. Or you can call their toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. Another one of our fine sponsors here, the one you all like very much. These are the people that give away that silver ingot every Thursday afternoon at about 10 minutes after 1. And that, of course, is the precious metals people. And you know them as Oxford Assaying and Refining. And you also know that this is where the miners sell their gold. In addition, Oxford also has some fascinating precious metal gift and investment ideas that include silver coins, silver ingots, gold coins, gold bars, and all an assortment of gold nuggets. And if you want to give a gift of lasting value that will be remembered for a long, long time, give a gift of gold and silver. They're now available from your precious metals people, Oxford Assaying and Refining. They're located at 208 Wendell Street, and their phone number is 456-3967. And just a personal note here, stop in at Oxford. They have a small but very nice display of gold and silver coins and nuggets right there to the right of the door as you walk in. And I'm certain that it'll be worth the trip just to stop over and take a look at that fine little display there. Plus, they have a fund of information over there that is unequaled when it comes to data surrounding the buying and selling of gold, silver, and nuggets. And right now, we're going to go back to Harold Gillum and this phone call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I didn't catch quite all of the program, and it's possible that you touched on this, but I haven't really heard you identify Harold to those of us who have not lived here since 1903. I mean, if you've got some listeners that may not know him personally, I first met him when he was an assistant city engineer at that old Southside fire station. You remember that, Harold?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. What a fiasco that was at the fire station, right?
Well, that was in the fire station.
Well, it had been.
We're at the old police station there on 12th and Noble.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the old fire station. That was south of Gaffney, you know what I mean?
No, that one escapes me. I never served out there.
It was about, all right. Maybe you weren't at that location, but the city engineer's department was down there at one time. And,
yes.
And perhaps you weren't there. But that was around 17th, and I'd like to say Gillum.
Yeah, it is.
It's about
16th, I think.
Okay, yeah, that's it. Anyway, Harold is the only person who has served as mayor of both the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the city of Fairbanks.
That's correct.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to put that in.
Yeah, you've been around a while, haven't you?
a couple of years. Yeah.
Hey, you got any other little stories you'd like to share with us about Harold?
No, not that you want to hear.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Please.
Yeah. Well, we were gonna kind of work up to him here and get him warmed up for some of those a little more colorful stories that he's got hidden away in his past. But thanks for bringing that one out, and maybe we'll quiz him a little bit more about his political activities over the years. Thanks for the call. We were going to get to that, Harold, but first, where did you go to school? Did you go to Maine School?
Maine School was our school. Graduated in 48. From there, I went to the University of Washington. Then a couple years in the Army, and then back to the University of Washington. And then I went to work for the city of Fairbanks.
What year was that, Harold?
Oh, that would have been about 1955 or 56. 56, uh-huh. I believe. Became city engineer. I was city engineer for the city for a couple years. I think it was 1960 I became city engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then left the city in 62 and started a little firm called Alaska Plastics, where we made expanded polystyrene. Did that for 13 years until
1975. Uh-huh. And 1975, during all that period of time, did you do any additional mining activity?
No, during that period of time, no, we didn't. The company kept me awfully busy. That was a small business. Is really a time-consuming operation. One that demands that particular business, trying to do something here in the interior that, we were trying to do some processing here. But my work days were 12 to 14 hours a day and
not a whole lot
seven days a week. And
not a whole lot of time for mining with that.
Not hardly. But, and I have also, in during that period of time, I was from 62 through 66, I was a member of the city council. From 66 through 68, I was borough chairman or borough mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, through 68, 1967, we had the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And then through 1972 through 1978, I was mayor of the city of Fairbanks. I had, during those periods of time, of course, I had the flood and helped in the flood recovery of Fairbanks. We had the pipeline boom years during my term of mayor as mayor of the city. And I'll be truthful with you, I would much rather have the problems of prosperity than I would of poverty. I've had them both.
Well, can't hardly blame you there. Let me do a couple of these little things for some people that are supporting us here, and then we'll be right back with you, Harold. Might like to know a little bit more about that flood time.
Here's another good reason to shop at Fred Meyer today. What have you got? What have you got?
Fred Meyer has a dollar sale going on right now, and it's absolutely our biggest dollar sale of the year. So come in and stock up, now through Saturday, at Fred Meyer.
Smart shoppers know we're the value store.
Whether you want to save on the little things your family uses all the time, or you want to get that VCR or CD player you've been saving for, you'll find it at Freddy's. Stock up on spring cleaning supplies, too, or pick up everything you need for home projects. There's terrific savings store-wide.
One-stop shopping, that's our style. More choice and great buys down every aisle.
Don't miss the dollar sale going on right now at Fred Meyer. It's our biggest dollar sale of the year, and you'll find it at Freddy's.
You know there's always another good reason to shop at Fred Meyer today.
Folks, hold those phone lines. We'll be back with Harold Gillum in just a couple of minutes here. I think I'll try this one again. I want to talk about Tip Top Chevrolet for just a moment. While I was out, somebody turned my button off. And I want to talk about Tip Top Chevrolet and the fact that Robbie Ginther over at Tip Top is not only the owner but the manager. And, of course, they sell new cars, used cars, they service, and they do body work. And a little bit more information is you've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system and Instatrac shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over, folks, and take a look. And don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet, located at 1916 South Cushman, or phone 452-8211, and tell them you heard of their ad on Alaska Gold Trails with Jim Madonna. I liked it the second time better than I liked it the first time, Harold.
You better, because the other ones didn't hear the first one.
Harold, I got a little phone call here for you. Are you still there?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Harold Gillum, you have a good reputation here, and you're intelligent and honest, and you have real experience, and I wish you'd consider running for a city council seat for the future mayor's position or even for governor. You'd get lots of votes from this area. And if you were in office, I don't think we'd be in the mess, the present mess we are in now.
Well,
thank you.
I thank you very much for those kind words.
Would you like to make a comment regarding any of that, Harold?
Oh, I'll pass on that right now.
Pass on that one, will you? Okay.
I do appreciate the fact that she remembers me.
We got you up to graduating from college, and then you went into the plastics business. Is that correct?
That's correct. Well, I was a city engineer. I spent quite a bit of time engineering until 1962.
And, well, you were an engineer then.
Still am.
You still am. That's something. One time I had to give
a talk. That's how I pay the bills.
One time I had to give a talk to a group of people. I said, it had to do with a graduating class at a university, and I had to stand up there and say something intelligent. And I said, well, our parents have given us something that nobody can take away from us. They gave us an education by supplying us with this fine college. And that's a fact. The point that you just made, I still am. You know, it's not something that just comes and goes. Have you been working at that, Harold, as an engineer?
Lately? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I understand that you've also entered back into the mining game just a little bit.
Yes.
You have. And are you mining locally or in part of the state, or what is your...
Well, last year we started doing some prospecting in Canada, and I'll go back again this spring and do some further prospecting.
You will. And do you churn drill, is that it, or
yes,
rotary
I have an old churn drill. Uh-huh. Takes time to put the hole down.
You know, I was just talking to a chap that did churn drilling, and he's been around a year or two. His name is Ernie Wolf, and one time he said to me, he says, Jim, he says, when you're out there drilling on a creek and you hit the pay channel, you know it, boy. You know it when you're on the pay, because that gold just comes right up in the drill cutting. And he says you can block out that pay streak so well, and everybody's walking around on cloud nine when it's coming out of the hole.
It's quite a feeling.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one of the people who are tightly involved with the mining industry, and that's Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, Harold. And I'm sure you know Hector, and that he has a lot of sluice boxes out and about, and you see them in just about all the mines in around Alaska. And I'd like to point out that Hector's not only manufactures mining equipment, but he also does a lot of other things, like replacing dozer blade liners. He rebuilds loader buckets and ripper shanks, and he does a lot of heavy equipment repairs and modifications. But mining equipment fabrication is his specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch blades. Another point that might be interesting to the folks out there is that they are the flocculant distributors here in Alaska, and you might want to take a drop out there and get a free test kit from Hector. Wherever Alaska's miners are working, Hector's is the first name in gold recovery equipment, and they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Phone number 488-6432. Give them a call, won't you? Harold, we're running out of time here, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate you joining me, and I would hope that one time in the future that we could get together one more time and talk a little bit more about your father and some of the adventures that he had here in Alaska, if you wouldn't mind. You think you could do that?
Oh, sure. Be my pleasure.
Well, Harold, thank you once again for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, Jim, you needed the help today.
I sure did, partner. Folks, I want to thank you for joining me today, and I'm my guest, Harold Gillum. Next week, our guest is going to be, guess who? Hector Terrio from Hector's Welding. I want to thank you, too, folks, for listening to Alaska Gold Trails. It's been fun. This is Jim Madonna, and until next week, folks, happy prospecting.
From ABC News, I'm...